let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm here in the studio with Father John Wargle. Hello.
Greetings.
It's great to be here with you. We are going to continue our story of the life of all the children associated with Isaac.
Yeah, Isaac and Rebekah.
All the way down.
We talked about them, and then, of course, their sons Jacob and Esau, and we talked about them last week. Jacob is the heel.
Yes,
okay, that holds
right.
on to
what a guy.
Yeah, right. I just love this because what splashed before the face of humanity is this story that will never go away because it's the greatest story, right?
Right, yeah.
And yet it's not about heroes, is it?
No, it's about, as we say in this post, jerks.
We say that with all reverence.
Oh, all okay? reverence and humility, yes.
Yeah.
So this is the story of Joseph, though, really. We're really focusing beginning, right?
Yeah, because the story of Joseph starts taking over the whole thing, mm-hmm. right? Very interesting, okay? He has four older brothers.
Yeah.
But these four older brothers are from his stepmother, I guess you would call, is that what you would call Leah in a way? Because Rachel is his real mother.
Right. I think so that's a good.
When you have two wives, I'm not quite sure what you call them.
I've never done that before.
So he's wondering, who is this woman, Leah?
Right. She's my aunt. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about this.
Yeah.
So it's pretty complicated, right? And of course, you can imagine Leah's brothers looking at Rachel and said, man, you know, what's going on here?
Right.
Yeah.
I know. They must have been really mad.
Yeah. I mean, you can imagine it, right?
Yeah.
Because you're connected to your mom, right?
Right, of course.
And you see that your mom is just disrespected and hated by your father.
Yeah. And then they're the ones that are the firstborns.
That's right.
And he completely like wipes them to the side and focuses his attention on Joseph, like he's the only child or something.
Well, you know, that's the problem because it all gets down in a family like this. Who has the firstborn rights?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And so Reuben is the firstborn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of Leah.
Of Leah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so now Joseph's on the scene. And he's the firstborn of his most beloved wife.
Right.
Now, the story, actually, I was going to say subtle. Maybe it's not so subtle, okay? Because he gives Joseph a coat. Now, we often, you know, when we read scripture, we see it was a coat of many colors.
Right.
Or what's this Joseph, the pyrotechnic robe or
something? Technicolor.
Technicolor.
You know, what's really amazing is that a pretty long time ago, Liberty High School actually did that as a play in school.
Oh, my.
And I just think that it's amazing that the story has sort of moved. The story is so great. It's moved outside of the scripture universe.
Oh, yeah.
And it became just this great story, period. Even in secular culture, you know,
well,
you got all these people listening to the Bible, verses and things.
Right,
it's
because it touches on all the human issues. It really does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Technicolor Dreamcoat, I think is what it was.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't. Anyways, the probability of this being not just a nice coat is this. It was probably a priestly garment.
Hmm.
Okay, I don't know. Have we used the word primogeniture yet?
I don't think so.
It's a big word.
I think I would remember.
But that's an important word that we're going to come back to especially when we get into the book of Exodus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then the primogenitor means that the firstborn, okay? He has all the rights, right? And along those rights and responsibilities is being the priest of the family.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. The firstborn is,
right,
becomes the priest, right?
Right. So by giving him his coat, which is probably not so much many colors, other than the fact that it's probably woven with gold and silver and probably studded with precious gems because Jacob's rich, right?
Yeah, right.
So you know, it's kind of hard, though, to think about, okay, you have this kid running around in this thing that probably is worth who knows what. Going out in the field, oh, sending him out to the brothers in right. this thing, right?
Go take care of the herds. Okay, got to get my coat.
You know, so he's just bebopping down the road, you know, this thing that any robber would clobber him overhead and steal. You know, that's kind of a hard thing to imagine, but
right.
this probably, it was a very, very symbolic coat.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jacob, he seems oblivious to the chaos that he's created in the family by his favoritism.
Yeah. I think he's oblivious for a while.
He is.
But I think then he begins to realize, because Joseph is kind of arrogant about his gifts and things like that. I mean, that's what it seems to me. He sort of lords it over his brothers a little bit. No wonder they get mad at him.
Well, that's okay. Now we're entering into the Joseph story.
Because, sorry.
Because, you know, not only does Jacob favor him, but God does. Okay. That really adds a wrench into the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because he comes off with these two dreams, right?
Right, yeah.
And we all know the dreams. Okay. We have them on our church windows.
Right,
where, you know, he falls asleep, you know, he sees, the, you know, the stars and the sun and the moon bowing down to him, the sun and moon, his mother and father. The 12 stars are his brothers, mm-hmm. or 11 stars.
11, yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, and then the sheaves all bending to him, right? So, Danny, when you're young, you're the favorite kid in the family, and God gives you these dreams of greatness.
Yeah, and can you imagine?
What does that do to you automatically?
I know, right. It just makes your head gigantic, and you can't fit through
a
door.
And you really can't do anything about it.
Right,
you can't say, well, I'm going to be humble about this. When you're a kid, okay, you can't do it.
Yeah, all you're doing is thinking, this is the greatest. I am the greatest.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
For sure.
And it blinded him to his brother's hatred. Maybe he goaded them on, basically, and he tells them the dreams.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, you think he'd have kept it to himself a little bit, at least. But but like I said, I think he's just really arrogant. But you're probably right. It's just his youth.
Yeah.
He has an inability to see because he's just not mature enough.
This is so important, Danny, because when God really touches the youthful soul and fills him with these visions of greatness,
mm-hmm.
you interpret it in a certain way. And that's all you can do. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And you're immature spiritually. And what is worse is that you're filled with spiritual pride.
Mm.
And it's really hard to extract spiritual pride from somebody.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the ancienthopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
You interpret it in a certain way, and that's all you can do, okay?
Right. Yeah.
And you're immature spiritually, and what is worse is that you're filled with spiritual pride.
Mm.
And it's really hard to extract spiritual pride from somebody. But God is good at this.
Yeah, we've seen that before.
Right. God is good at that.
He's got ways of doing things that help you to understand.
Right. So here's this beautiful child, you know, probably takes after his beautiful
His mom,
mother.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, he's his idol, just like his mother's his idol. And so he goes to brothers and they say, you know, okay, we've had enough of this. Okay. So anyways, we see that the brothers, they plot and they want to kill him.
Yeah.
And it's not Reuben who wants to kill him.
No, right,
Reuben
not
is
the oldest.
One because he's firstborn.
Well,
and as a firstborn, he is responsible for what goes on, and he knows this.
Right. Yeah, he gets it. You know,
he gets it.
Yeah, he understands that if anything bad happens, it's going to come down to him. The buck stops with him, and he should do better.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So we know it's not Judah because he's the fourth born, and he comes up with an idea that everybody embraces.
Mm-hmm.
We'll not kill him. We'll sell him off.
Yeah.
Okay. But Judah, as a fourth born, you start seeing something about Judah, and that is he's more respected, more thoughtful than the firstborn. Reuben.
Okay.
Okay. So that's a very important point to lodge in the back of your head. Okay. That means there's only two, and they're violent guys. We know that.
Right.
Simeon and Levi.
They're the ones who are the maddest.
Ones that want to kill him.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is all surmise, but we can feel it, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So what they do is this. They sell him off, they kill an animal, and they put blood on this coat, and they take back to the father.
Yeah.
And they don't say a word because they're making him come to his own conclusion. The word recognize is extremely important in the whole book, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Recognize. Because what we see and what we recognize, everything depends on it.
Yes.
Okay?
Right, yeah.
Right. So he sees and recognizes this, and he makes the assumption that the brothers want him to make, that an animal killed him.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So that's Jacob. Jacob receives the coat with the blood on it.
Yeah.
And comes to the conclusion—
Right.
That the brothers want him to come to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe for the first time, you start feeling for Jacob.
That would be the first time.
Yeah, it'd be the first time because, you know, you just feel his grief. He's inconsolable.
Right. He feels like his life is over.
Yeah.
I mean, he's ready to die.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we know that his little brother, Benjamin, he's got Benjamin, but he's the cause of his idol's death.
Oh,
okay,
right.
Because she died.
Rachel died in childbirth.
Right. So the man is in utter sadness. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that comes out pretty clear in the scriptures. Really, I think do a good job of indicating how sad and down
it is sublime.
This guy is,
it really is sublime, right? But you know, when you look at it with a cold, objective eye, we see this man of strife. He cheats and robs from his youth. He can't be trusted by anybody in his family. His attachment to Rachel because of her good looks suggests that, you know, he's a fairly superficial guy. He can't really appreciate Leah or her sons.
Yeah, and the other thing that he does is, even though Leah does everything that she possibly can to win some kind, any kind of affection from Jacob, it's like he just pushes her over to the side.
He doesn't even see her.
Without a thought.
Right.
Yeah,
He doesn't even see her.
Yeah, that's a good way. Yeah.
And he doesn't even see his older mm-hmm. sons either.
Yeah, wow. Right?
And now he doesn't really see anything.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
He doesn't even see his own foibles. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
And like all of us, we don't see our foibles.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we're hardly aware of them, right?
Only when my faults are pointed out by someone else.
Yeah, but if it's pointed out by somebody else,
we won't listen to it. That's
really,
depends on who it is. But yes, okay, yeah.
I mean, we can't be told.
Right. Yeah,
okay?
That's true. Yeah.
You know, we rebel against it.
Yeah.
Right. We fight against it, right? And so he's far away from any kind of illumination, okay?
Yeah.
So we may, on some level, recognize that we have faults, but we kind of just laugh them off. Oh, no big deal. But if we see these same faults in other people,
yes,
then we're disgusted with them.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So it all gets down to this very point that we've talked about in the last two podcasts. God is the God of the jerks. Right. And until we see ourselves in that category, he can't be our God.
Right.
Because he's God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah, the jerk.
All right.
Yeah. So God spends time with all these people who are the jerky people. And if I can't see that I'm one of those,
right,
then I can't possibly have the humility or whatever to recognize that God is my God. Yes,
exactly.
I got that out of the story, yes.
Yeah, so we all have families, and there's always some dysfunction in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the takeaway here is, you know, we really have to look at the dynamics of what's going on, and we have to ask ourselves this question. To what degree am I responsible?
Yeah.
Most people kind of just look at other people as being responsible.
Yep.
Right? But everybody has some responsibility in this whole thing. I mean, when you look at the four sons of Leah, right? They're making decisions on the basis of their father.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Right? They're not free of it.
Yeah.
They're dogged and they're angry mm-hmm. and it's just festering. Even to the point of murder.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's,
you know,
that's right on the edge.
Anybody of us could be pushed to really, you know, difficult things.
Yeah.
So this is a very human situation. It has everything in here. The grandsons of Abraham, the man of faith, who seems to come off almost perfect, there's murder in their hearts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hard to believe it got that bad after only a few generations.
Right. So anyways, that's what we have to say today. I think that we just have to see ourselves in this family.
So our story ends, though, with Joseph being sold.
That's right. Chapter 37.
Right. And that's all we know so far.
That's all we know.
Yeah.
And what we know is that Jacob saw the coat, recognized it, and took the bait.
Yeah.
And his son's dead by a wild animal. And the fact that his sons couldn't do anything about it, I'm sure he resented them all that much more.
Sure, yeah. Meanwhile, they're counting their silver that they got for Joseph.
Yeah.
This is quite a story.
Now, silver is very important in this story. The idea of recognizing and the idea of silver, very important in the story. Everything is set in motion, okay. Here. Okay. Well, anyways, God bless. This is fun like always.
More to come. Thanks so much for coming in.
Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.